This is Express FM.
Supported by Southern Co-op.
Wait for the whistle to blow, and we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has sort of a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
Pompey's seven-year stay in League One is about to come to an end.
12 years after being relegated from the Championship, Portsmouth are back in the second tier of English football. A rookie manager has worked his magic and brought joy to Fratton Park. Portsmouth are promoted as League One champions.
Following promotion last Tuesday night and the League One trophy lift a few days later, we now move on to match day number 46 for the 2023-24 campaign and the Blues' final third division fixture, with John Massino's side set to occupy a place in the Championship from next season. We'll be hearing tonight from the gaffer ahead of tomorrow's showdown with Lincoln City.
I think it's important, first of all, obviously, for the integrity of the league that we go up and put on a good show. And it would be nice to finish on a win and finish on a high, so plenty to play for at the weekend.
And as always, Blues fans, we want to hear from you on tonight's show. What has been your favourite moment from the Blues 7 years in League One? With the season done and dusted in terms of promotion confirmed for Pompey, would you like to see John Massino rotate his squad this weekend? And what do you think the score will be at Sinsel Bank tomorrow afternoon? The Express FM app is the best way to reach us. You can send us a voice note on there, as well as a written message too. Otherwise, text Express and your message to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. It's at ExpressFM over on X. Or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. So, for one final time this season, we've got a game to look forward to. Here on Express FM, this is the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Welcome along to our final match preview of the 2023-24 season here on the Football Hour, your home of passionately Pompey conversation twice a week, every week. It's really great, as always, to have you join us for the show this evening. Without your support and interaction, this would be quite difficult to do. So with that in mind, don't hesitate to get in contact with us tonight. We don't bite, I promise. We're eager to know whatever it is you've got on your mind, whether it's your thoughts on the Blues' last game, a prediction for the next, or a question for the panel. You have up until 7pm to get your messages across to us. Over the next hour or so, we'll be providing you with a look ahead to Portsmouth's final game of the League One season, and what will hopefully be their final match in this division for quite some time. But let's first of all recap what happened last time out for the Blues before we go any further. And with promotion secured against Barnsley 4 days prior, John Massino made 5 changes last Saturday for the visit of Wigan Athletic to Fratton Park, with Joe Rafferty, Owen Moxon, Christian Sadie, Callum Lang and Colby Bishop coming back into the starting 11, replacing Zach Swanson, Lee Evans, Tino Anderin, Gavin White and Cassini Yenge. That wasn't enough to prevent the Latics from raining on Pompey's parade, however, as a fifth league defeat of the campaign was inflicted at PO4, where after a full-time whistle, the League One trophy was presented to the champions.
Every kick.
Left foot, great delivery.
Every goal.
Curling it past the goalkeeper.
Every game is right here.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey!
On Express FM.
And we are underway on Express FM. 0-0. Not a save for Norris to make as yet. Oh, and suddenly it's given away. And Bishop might be one-on-one with the goalkeeper. And he shoots from distance. And he gets it all wrong. And he puts it well wide of the target, trying to lift it over the keeper. 0-0. There is a giant beach ball that's about to be blown into Wigan's goal. And that's what the huge cheer is. Because the beach ball is in the back of the Wigan net as Wigan play it forward. Goes all the way through to Will Norris, the Pompey goalkeeper. 0-0. And now the referee has stopped play, so the giant beach ball can be removed, and he'll pop 2 more balloons, and the steward is not getting a good reception for a move. I mean, it is a giant beach ball.
I'm not... Do you think that's the only one?
No.
And there'll be another one.
No, I don't think it's the only one. As Wigan have a chance to shoot from distance, it's working quite nicely. Left-footed effort, hits the post. Rebound wouldn't be put towards goal, but the flag was up from Kelman. The original goal would have stood, though. And looking to the sky, Johnny Smith thinks he should have had his fourth of the season. 0-0. Wigan trying to break into Pompey's penalty area. Cross to come in deep towards the far post. There's men there. It's knotted down. Loose in the penalty area. Pompey are slow to react. Chance for a shot. And it's into the back of the net. A deflected effort. And Luke Chambers has scored his first senior goal. It came off Rafferty. It squirmed and seemed to go into the bottom corner at slow motion. And a few in the front end are clapping. It's not quite the usual hostile reception. Fulton nil, Wigan 1. And Yenge goes wide to Pack and then wants to get in the box himself. Pack to Raggett. Raggett's going to hit this one from here and he hits it well and it's palmed away and still there for Rafferty. His header is saved.
He did hit it well, didn't he? It's what the crowd want to see.
Wigan on the attack. They're making another change and they've worked it well down the left and they're going to pull it back and they can't find a turquoise shirt and suddenly Pompey might have the counter-attack because Miles Pearce-Harris has got all kinds of space. Lane's calling for it on the far side. Pearce-Harris has got Pack making a run. Pack in the penalty area. Touch. Pack. Save. Still there. Rafferty pulls it back. Saved again. And Portsmouth the closest they've come to getting an equaliser. Oh, here's McGuinness. There's a chance for Wigan to make it two. A Meza at the back. And Josh McGuinness reaches double figures for the season with his left foot, puts it behind and past Norris into the net, celebrates in front of the Wigan fans. The unbeaten streak looks like it'll end for Pompey. Portsmouth nil, Wigan 2. Chance for Portsmouth, laid it back to Bishop. Block deflected, it's hit the bar and stabbed in the net. Yenge scores. And maybe there is more late drama here at Bratton Park. Bishop denied, Yenge wouldn't be. Portsmouth 1, Wigan 2. Lane back to Pack. Delivery to come in again. Loads for Massing. Header is saved. Oh, and Rafferty couldn't get there. And it is cleared away.
That's a decent save as well.
Full-time whistle. Bringing an end to Pompey's home season. An end of their chance of getting to 100 points. Still the trip to Lincoln to come. Don't often get defeats applauded. But Portsmouth do applaud and rise to their feet to salute their side, who have been beaten by 2-1 to Wigan today, but still plenty of encouragement from what has been for a memorable home season for those who've been here every game.
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
Those there, the highlights of Pompey's final home fixture of the 2023-24 campaign last Saturday against Wigan Athletic at Fratton Park, who were 2-1 victors at PO4. Of course, Pompey still top of the League One standings. They won promotion a few days prior at home to Barnsley at Fratton Park. And we went over the results on Monday's show. But just a refresher, last Saturday, just Pompey losing, of course, 2-1 at home to Wigan, fifth defeat of the campaign. Elsewhere, Northampton Town 1, Exeter City 2, Blackpool 3, Barnsley 2, Bolton 2, Port Vale 0, Bristol Rovers 0, Peterborough United 2, Burton Albion 3, Reading 2, Cambridge United 0, Derby County 1, Carlisle United 1, Wickham 3, Charlton Athletic 1, Shrewsbury 1, Cheltenham Town 1, Lincoln City 2, and Leyton Orient 0, Fleetwood Town 1. On Tuesday night, after the show we had on Monday, Cambridge United 1, Wickham Wanderers 1, and Cheltenham Town surprised 2-0 victors at home to Peterborough United. Probably not that surprising if you take a look at Peterborough's squad. Plenty of changes made by Darren Ferguson in that one. Alex Fletcher and Pepe Lacey alongside us for tonight's edition of the Football Hour. First and foremost, good evening to Alex Fletcher joining us over the powers of the internet tonight. Alex, good evening.
Evening, Jake. Thanks for having me on.
Alex, pleasure as always. We have a defeat, of course, at home to Wigan last Saturday. Pompey already promoted, already champions. Was that a result that actually wasn't too surprising, in your opinion, given the fact that the celebrations had gone on for quite a few days?
Yeah, the celebrations were pretty well documented. I think even, you know, obviously on the night, but also I think the best one was the Paddy Lane interview I heard on the radio 24 hours after we won the league. And to be honest with you, he couldn't even string, well, I was going to say a sentence, but barely two words together. So in many respects, it isn't too surprising. It was very difficult to care as a fan. Obviously, you know, the players and Messinio, they're competitors. They're going to want to win these games as well. So I'm sure there would have been some disappointment there, but I'm sure that would have faded quite quickly when we lifted the trophy.
It doesn't happen to be this interview with Jordan Clark on BBC Radio Solent, does it, Alex?
Paddy Lane, good evening to you. Thank you for coming to speak to us. I sense this is going to be a fun couple of minutes. How are you both feeling, first of all, Paddy?
I'm all right. Like, it's been class, like, last 24 hours. it's been class. Obviously, the fans were out last night and we were out and it was great. We got the awards tonight, so we look forward to that. But no, listen, to do it with the fans on the pitch last night, wow, what a feeling.
Is that what you were referring to, Alex? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one, Jake. Yeah. I'm surprised it was only 2-1 when you listened back to that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Can confirm that Paddy Lay mentions in that interview with Jordan that it was the awards evening that night, and I was very fortunate to have Paddy Lane on my table alongside Conor Moseley and Kirsty Roxanne, and Paddy was... he was in good mood. He was in good spirits, let's just say that. Pepe Lacey also alongside us for tonight's edition of the show. Pepe, good evening.
Evening again, Jake.
Yeah, it's been quite some frequent occurrence, this, isn't it?
Third one in 3 weeks, I believe.
Yeah, and you're on next Friday as well.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, so...
with Tom Chappell from 4-0 running all over it, that would be an entertaining
some
one.
Duo.
So, yeah, some duo indeed. Pepe, like we say, that defeat last Saturday, probably not all too surprising. What do you expect from tomorrow's game at Lincoln?
I think Pompey will come out a little bit stronger. Obviously, the celebrations last week, there was obviously a hangover onto Saturday. But we were just mentioning Paddy Lane. When he came off the bench, he actually looked one of Pompey's best players. Like, he just couldn't believe it. There was no surprise at all when he was not named in the starting 11. I think if you were to name one player in the squad that wouldn't play, that could have been, that was available, it would have been him, because he looked like he had one too many. But he was actually Pompey's best player when he came on, and I'd like to see him return to the team tomorrow. And I think, obviously, it's their final week together. I've read an interview with Joe Morrell earlier today saying how they want to, obviously he's not playing, but the squad want to finish on a high, and they want to end the season on a high, really. 97 points, three more available, which would take us on to 97. So want to finish on a high, and it will be a tough test at Cinsale Bank tomorrow.
Yeah, and you celebrated that victory over Barnsley, and of course
alongside you, Jake.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, we had a very good night, and some people had taken their celebrations in a slightly different way. As reported earlier today by Andy Moon, our friend and colleague from BBC Radio Solent, human ashes scattered onto the Fratton Park pitch after the victory over Barnsley last Tuesday night. Two Portsmouth supporters in this article written by Andy Moon earlier today spread human ashes at the Fratton Park pitch during the promotion celebration. These contain calcium and calcium phosphate, which kill grass, and proved a challenge for the club's ground staff ahead of that game against Wigan a few days later. Of course, the affected areas after that pitch invasion on Tuesday, the penalty area, the centre circle, and on Saturday you could kind of see some scarring on the pitch, particularly towards the middle of it. It maybe looked like it had been burnt out by a few flares or some pyrotechnics, but as per this article from Andy Moon, somebody had scattered some human ashes onto the pitch, and fair enough, each to their own. Pepe, of course, we've got one game remaining this season, Lincoln away tomorrow. You mentioned there you expect a bit of a different approach to the game. There's no sort of hangover anymore. You'd like to think there wouldn't be any more. You've had that week in training. John Messina has had his side. He's regrouped. We're going to hear from him later about a couple of players returning potentially as well. But this is an opportunity to get up to 97 points and really end this era in League One, the last 7 years, on a high.
Absolutely, and it would be so Pompey to win the title and lose the last two games after losing just four before then all season. But I think it'd be a great occasion for the 1,100 fans going to Cinsale Bank tomorrow to end it on a high, and then to obviously celebrate it on Sunday down Southsea Common. So I think it would be Pompey if they were to lose, finish League One with two consecutive losses. Why wouldn't it be? I think it would be a good way to end it, and especially for this team as well. This team that had playoff ambitions at the start of the season. John Messina was very adamant. There was obviously that famous interview before the start of the season, not sort of saying we're promotion contenders, but saying we'll be in and around there. And then this season, they've come out flying, and to only lose five games up to this point so far, some squad, testament to the squad, and if they were to end it on a high tomorrow, it would just be the perfect way to end 7 years in League One.
Yeah, and it's not too uncommon, is it, Alex, that once a team gains promotion, wins a league title, that they kind of drop off in form over the next few games, whether that's taking the foot off the gas or some other kind of factor. We know that John Mourinho and this team, the kind of mentality they bring, that's not something they're going to sort of openly admit, they're going to take their foot off the gas, but it is something, it's somewhat of a phenomenon that we do see. You look at Chesterfield, for example, in the National League, they were flying at the top of the table for quite some time. They ended up winning the league, they ended up getting promoted, and after that, they lost five of their six games that followed on from that. So it's not uncommon, Alex, but it would be quite poetic for Pompey to win this game tomorrow, like they won their first game back in League One in 2017, that 3-0 victory over Rochdale at Fratton.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's been alluded to yet, but I think our record for losses in a season is six when we got promoted up to the Premier League in 2003. So obviously, if we can just avoid defeat tomorrow, that I believe that's a new club record. We'd equal it anyway, even if we did lose. But yep. I think for me, that would be a fantastic achievement for the team, obviously, you know, to equal that club record that would go down. I mean, this season's already going to go down in history, obviously. But to have that little piece of history there, I think would be fantastic. Listen, if we do lose, it's not the end of the world. I mean, I'm nitpicking here with this, but it would be nice to go. Lincoln have got something to play for, though, so I mean, it's going to be a tough game.
They do indeed. Alex pulling out the stats there. That is correct, of course. Pompey's record for the least amount of defeats in a season coming from 2002-2003, which was six. Pompey currently have five league defeats this season. It was four before that. Loss against Wigan at Fratton Park last Saturday. Avoid defeat tomorrow, and that would be a new club record. But as Alex has alluded to, Lincoln have got a lot to play for. They are vying for a top six finish this season. It's not done yet, and they've got some competition with Oxford United and Blackpool also looking to get into the playoffs on the final day of the campaign. So this will be no easy test for Pompey as they look to bow out of League One in style. Right, after the break, we're going to be looking ahead to Pompey's final game of the season and hearing what John Mourinho believes needs to change from last weekend's defeat to Wigan at Fratton Park in order to get the win tomorrow.
I think we need to start stronger from the off. I thought we were really poor in the first half, and it was very, very understandable considering the week that the boys have had. Not just the physical toll everything had taken, but I think the emotional and the mental side of it, it made it difficult for the boys, I think, to properly prepare going into it.
Plenty more of where that came from as we ramp up our preview of tomorrow's game at Sinsel Bank and get more from our two guests too. Stick around for part two of the Football Hour, making its way into your ears in just a moment.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
The world is your oyster. With many bus routes offering services late into the evening, from 7 p.m. every day, you can take advantage of a Night Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Night Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South. So whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, on a late shift, or just enjoying late night bus rides, visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Hello there, this is indeed the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM. We are with you twice a week, every week, on Monday and Friday evenings to deliver the latest as we get it from inside PO4, where this season the Blues have been crowned champions of League One, in case you didn't know. A 3-2 win over Barnsley at Fratton Park on April the 16th confirmed Pompey's automatic promotion to the Championship after 12 years away and seven consecutive seasons in the third division. John Mourinho's side lifted the title on home soil after a 2-1 defeat to Wigan last Saturday, and although we played this audio on Monday night as well, there's no shame in hearing it again. This is the moment Marlon Pack became the first Portsmouth-born player to lift the trophy for his boyhood club since Reg Flewen, who did so in 1949 and 1950.
And last but very much not least, Marlon Pack salutes the crowd with two fists in the air and heads over towards the podium, where he will get his medal, and in a minute he will get the chance to lift the League One trophy. It is a boyhood dream he's going to live out, Marlon Pack. Lifting, he's handed the trophy. Here we go. This is the moment. Marlon Pack walks across the podium. He gets ready, and Marlon Pack lifts the trophy. The champagne starts flying. Portsmouth are League One champions for 2023-24. John Mazzino has masterminded Portsmouth's return to the championship. The celebrations have been big this week. They will continue to be big for the next few days. Marlon Pack is going to pass the trophy around, and Pompey are League One title winners.
Marlon Pack there lifting the League One title at Fratton Park last Saturday. I don't think Pepe will ever really tire of listening to that piece of audio, will we?
No, I've watched him lift the trophy about 100 times since last Saturday. It was just such a good day. Good day with my mates. It was just a good day. It was a party day, really, and we haven't had one of them at Fratton Park in so long, and it was good to sort of spend it with 19,000 other Pompey fans, and then to finish the season, really, or finish the season at Fratton Park, sorry, with Marlon Pack lifting the trophy. If you said that after Bristol Rovers at home at the start of the season, I would have bitten your hand off, Jake.
There's something quite special, isn't it, Alex? Because, of course, we celebrate the promotion, and it would have been special nonetheless. But to see a boyhood Pompey fan like Marlon Pack lift that trophy, and as Pepe's alluded to, kind of watched that video hundreds of times over, it's the way that he looks at it as well. He kind of lifts it aloft, and they do their celebrations, and then Marlon Pack, he kind of just puts it down again and just stares at it for a few seconds. He wipes some champagne out of his eyes, and there's probably a few tears in there as well, isn't there? But I think Marlon Pack being the captain of this season just kind of made it that extra bit special, didn't it, Alex?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I was watching from a video feed, and it was just such an incredible sight. And it was actually only afterwards when I saw the video, as I say, of Pack lifting at the trophy. And I think you're right, Jake. There was some tears mixed in with that champagne there. Just the sheer amount of effort for him. I think I actually watched a video. He was doing an interview earlier on today, and he actually said that when he first came to Pompey, he did have in the back of his mind that he wanted to be club captain. So obviously, for his first season, he wasn't. As soon as we started the second season, he was named as club captain. He's really grabbed it with both hands, hasn't he? And it's just been, well, in the same way he did that trophy on on Saturday. Honestly, it was an absolutely sensational moment for him. I think it's something he'll never forget. And let's see what we can do now. Can he take us even further forward as our club captain? I certainly hope so. But no matter what happens now, he'll always go down as a legend for that moment, I think.
Absolutely. And a player who sort of, I guess, ready-made for next season, isn't he, Pepe? He's got that championship experience, having played many, many games in that division for the likes of Bristol City and Cardiff. You'd like to think that Marlon Pack staying at Pompey next season, captaining the side into their first year back into the championship after 12 years away, would be a perfect setup already.
Absolutely. And that's the sort of player, the type of player you want in your first season back in the championship, a player with hundreds of appearances in the championship already. Obviously played at the top end of the championship with Bristol City and Cardiff City, so he's the role model you want to have in the dressing room for the younger players as well, and the people playing in the championship for the first time. Obviously Joe Rafferty's there, played in the championship before, and a couple of other players have as well. So incorporate those key experienced players in the dressing room, add them with a little bit of youth, and I think we could be all right next season. But having a type of player like Marlon Pack, especially in the centre midfield and your captain, that's exactly what you want.
Let's talk a little bit about John Mazzino, Alex, and we could spend hours talking about John Mazzino and really singing his praises, I guess. But his first full season in management, his first club he's come over to be the head coach of, signed at Pompey on the 20th of January 2023, took charge of that sort of back end of last season, four defeats then between January and the end of the campaign, and then five defeats this season, nine in the league since taken over, 11 in all competitions overall. Alex, 75 games John Mazzino has taken charge of, only 11 defeats, 40 wins, 24 draws, 114 goals scored, a win percentage of 53.3, and a goal difference over his tenure of plus 41. Alex, it's needless to say that winning the League One title in your first full season of management, winning the League One Manager of the Season at the EFL Awards, and doing everything that John Mazzino has done, is you don't get a better start to management than that, surely.
I mean, those stats are just incredible, aren't they? I mean, I was having a chat with some fans before the Barnsley game, and we said, imagine going back, 15, 16 months ago when we had that shocking defeat against Charlton. It was Danny Cowley's last game in charge. Imagine going back to yourself leaving the ground on that day, and I was in the ground that day, and I had almost no hope. Imagine saying to yourself that Oxford United's third centre-back was going to come in and you're going to be League One champions, within a year and a half. I mean, honestly, no one no one could have ever predicted that. I mean, it was a left field appointment when he came in. I think a lot of people were, you know, trying to sort of give him a chance. Yeah, myself, to, you know, let's see what he can do. It's left field. Maybe they've seen something. Maybe it's Richard Hughes. Maybe it's the owners, whoever it is. I mean, whoever's made that appointment, whoever made the final decision on that appointment is an absolute genius. Honestly, what an incredible appointment. I was very pleased to see at the time Eric Eisner coming out and saying, yeah, this isn't the cheap option. He's impressed us. Hmm. And then again, actually, when we won the league, he sort of quoted his tweet and actually then came back and said, oh, well, you know, clearly it wasn't the cheap option, was it? You know, come on, the proof's in the pudding. I think it was an absolute masterstroke to appoint Messini. I mean, he's proved that this season. I can't quite believe it still. It still doesn't quite sink in that someone in their first job in management who's literally just come off the pitch as a player can do that, especially at a club like Pompey. It's quite a big club for League One, but he deserves the utmost praise. And to be honest with you, I think it's going to be more of a job keeping hold of him now than it is anything else, to be honest with you, because there's going to be some seriously big clubs looking at him and thinking, hang on a minute, there could be a serious rising star in management here.
Yeah, and given how, quite frankly, unbelievable it has been for John Messini in his first full season management, Pepe, and given the fact that we're sat here talking about Pompey being promoted to the Championship after year upon year, we've been sat here talking about it's another failed season, it's another year in League One, it's another trip to Accrington, Carlisle, Northampton. Love the teams, but I'm glad to see the back of them. Is it quite unbelievable to sit here and actually keep talking about Pompey in the Championship? Do you kind of feel like you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and it's all going to be a dream and John Messini is still going to be playing for Oxford United and we're still going to be in League One?
Yeah, absolutely. And off the back of two experienced managers at this level, Kenny Jackett in particular, 4 years, and we came close twice in the playoffs, and then Danny Cowley had a couple of failed years, and then we've looked to someone, an Oxford United defender, and he's taken us to the Championship, and it hasn't sunk in since Barnsley. It hasn't really sunk in for the last couple of months, really, that we were so close to the Championship, and now we are in the Championship next year. You sort of, all eyes have now turned on the Championship and who we could be playing, and obviously there's that one team down the road that we really don't want to win in the playoffs. But yeah, no, I think it will take till the first day of the season for me to realise, okay, we're actually in the Championship, we're back.
Unless we get drawn first game of the season, it's like Oxford at home because they've won the playoffs, and it's just going to feel like a League One.
Or Derby away, yeah. Or just whoever wins the playoffs or something.
Hopefully
like that
first game of the next season is like away at Sheffield United.
Usually, yeah, that's what they usually do, don't they? It's they sort of put the team who won the league versus a relegated Premier League team, they always play on a Friday night or something, something like that. And if that happens and we play like Burnley away on the first day of the season on a Friday night, I think that would get me back to League One.
I'm going to clip that bit of audio up for two different reasons. When we get the fixtures come out in June, if it's Burnley away on a Friday night, we can all blame Pepe.
Yep.
We can all throw stones at your houses. Yep. Houses, you've got multiple, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
And then the other bit of that quote saying, get me back to League One.
Yeah.
Because then if we do get relegated next season, then I'll be playing that on repeat.
Oh, please,
and we'll be blaming you again.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to hear from John Messini now. We've been singing his praises for the last 5 minutes or so. He's been previewing tomorrow's game away at Lincoln City with Max Wotton.
Well, John, Lincoln this Saturday, and a chance for your squad to finish the season on a high.
Yeah, I think it would be nice after the disappointment of the result last weekend. Obviously, it didn't really mar the celebrations and anything that we had going into the week. But I think it's important, first of all, obviously, for the integrity of the league that we go up and put on a good show. And it would be nice to finish on a win and finish on a high, so plenty to play for at the weekend.
Just looking back to Saturday, how much did you enjoy the celebrations?
They were brilliant, I think, particularly considering the end of the game where it was quite an interesting end to the game with nothing to play for. We can live with that, I think, and the fact that we got back into it and had a lot of pressure in the second half, it just rolled nicely into the celebrations towards the back end. So some really, really nice moments, I think, on the pitch with families and players and their kids, and then to be able to do it at Fratton and to be able to go off the back of the wild celebrations on Tuesday night and have a bit more of a sensible celebration on Saturday was brilliant.
That sort of second half, particularly the latter stages, is that something you want to take into this weekend, or is it just about starting stronger from the offing?
I think we need to start stronger from the off. I thought we were really poor in the first half, and it was very, very understandable considering the week that the boys have had. Not just the physical toll everything had taken, but I think the emotional and the mental side of it, it made it difficult for the boys, I think, to properly prepare going into it. It took them 45 to get themselves going, and once they did, I thought, you know, we played some really good stuff in the second half. So no issue with it whatsoever, but I think it would be nice, having had a clear week this week to go into it with a bit more of a clear identity in terms of the way that we want to play and the way we have played all season. Because it was the first, you know, it was the first time after those 44 games that I sort of came in at half time and didn't really recognise the side.
That sort of, we had a bit of a manic week last week. Obviously, how are the lads looking now? They're back in with a clean week, like you said.
Everything's settled down this week, and we've had that clear week, which has been great. So we've been out training yesterday and today. We'll be off tomorrow, back in on Friday, ready to travel up to Lincoln. So it's a much more of a sensible, settled down week. We've actually had the boys out. I'm physically much better prepared, and I think everybody's settled down, ready just to finish off the season and hopefully go out on high.
Lincoln have got a playoff place on the line, so they've obviously got something to play for. What sort of game are you expecting?
Well, Lincoln are a really good side who were struggling earlier in the season, and obviously they've been in, you know, scintillating form, I think, especially since since Michael's come in. So we expect a really, really difficult side. They've put some sides away 5-6-0 over the past couple of months as well. I think the manager could consider himself very lucky not to have picked up at least a couple of the managerial awards, because he's been outstanding, I think, and Lincoln have transformed themselves into a very, very competitive side and forced their way into the top six. I'm sure at points this season, you know, people have told you that was a really, really difficult task for them. So I think there's plenty we need to be wary of. It's going to be a really tough test, and obviously with, I think, a sold out home crowd and plenty to play for on their end, it's going to be an interesting afternoon.
What do you think particularly their new manager has changed in terms of Lincoln's style compared to when we played them at the start of the year?
I don't think, there's a few tweaks in terms of the way that they do go out with their business. They're a really, you know, good counter-attacking side, so they set up very, very well to defend, and they've kept a huge amount of clean sheets this season, one of the best defensive records in the league. I think a lot of that's obviously down to the new manager, but I think that, the old manager as well put a lot of the building blocks in place, and I thought they had a pretty good side before they changed managers anyway, so their form has just taken off since then. But certainly a side that have got plenty of threats, as well as being very, very defensively solid.
What's the latest injury news?
We've got a clean bill of health from the weekend, so we've actually got quite a big squad to pick from this weekend. I think we'll have 24 fit pros going into it.
Terry Devlin's been back in training for quite a while now. Is there any sort of scope on for him to be involved?
Yeah, Terry's one of those 24, so Terry was probably fit for selection at the weekend. That was the first game that he was available for selection, and obviously with the competitiveness of the squad at the moment, he didn't make it, but certainly one that we'd be considering this weekend.
Something to look forward to on Sunday as well. How excited are you to get to Southsea with the lads?
Yeah, great that everything was announced this morning. I think it's going to just sort of top things off nicely. The celebrations over the past couple of weeks have been brilliant. I think they'll, the memories will live long in everybody's and everybody's minds. But certainly to be able to do it, I think, in front of an even bigger crowd, and when things are probably a bit more controlled than they were on that Tuesday night, I think it's going to be an amazing occasion.
John Messina speaking to Max Swatton ahead of tomorrow's trip to Lincoln City. A reminder, that is a 12:30 kickoff. All 12 of the League One fixtures happening tomorrow afternoon are 12:30 kickoffs, due to it being the final day of the season, and they like to mess around with these timings. Elsewhere, Barnsley host Northampton Town, Derby County home to Carlisle United, Exeter City take on Oxford United, Oxford also vying for a top six position, Fleetwood Town already relegated take on Burton Albion, Lincoln City of course hosting Pompey, Peterborough versus Bolton, big game for Bolton Wanderers. They need to win that game and hope Derby lose in their game against Carlisle. Port Vale against Cambridge United, Reading take on Blackpool, Shrewsbury Town home to Leyton Orient, Stevenage host Cheltenham Town, Wigan Athletic take on Bristol Rovers, and Wickham take on Charlton Athletic. We'll go through all of the permutations a little later on in the show. Great to hear in that interview, Alex, a few players available for Pompey for tomorrow's game, including the likes of Tom Lowry, Ben Stevenson and Terry Devlin. Terry Devlin was mentioned in that interview. Stevenson, Lowry not, but confirmed with Andy Moon on the same day that those players will be available. So it's an opportunity, Alex, to see some of these players maybe we haven't seen for quite a while feature.
Yeah, and I quite like to see that, to be honest with you. I was quite surprised, actually, that we went for almost effectively our first team that we played all season against Wigan. But, yeah, I think no matter who you're going to put in there, they're always going to give 100%. They're going to be that same team spirit. I think we've seen that all season. No matter who goes in there, they always seem to just sort of buy into whatever Messina's asking of them. All right, it's the last game of the season. There's not necessarily anything riding on it for us, apart from that earlier record that I alluded to. But generally speaking, I think it would be really nice for those sort of players that haven't had as much game time. As you say, Ben Stevenson came in and, you know, he's played a couple of games, played well. Tom Lowry when he's played, Devlin when it, you know, there's just a few names that you've mentioned. I'm sure there's a fair few more. These players deserve a little bit of a game time. I think on the final game of the season, when there isn't necessarily anything to play for, considering a fair few of them also be fighting for new contracts, I think it's worth giving them a go. Mm. I think if you want to clip this one as well, Jake, because listening to your conversation earlier about Burnley, for me, I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, our first game of the season is going to be away. It is going to be that Friday night slot, but it's going to be Luton. I think it's going to be Kenilworth Road. They're going to welcome us back to the Championship with a bang.
A bang?
Well, all right, not quite a bang, but you know.
Welcome back to the Championship. You're going to Luton.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, why not? Who else would have it any other way? You know, that's Pompey for you, isn't it?
I'd rather a different way. Alex, I'm definitely clipping it up, and I'm blaming you if we get Luton away, particularly on a Friday night as well.
I'll take responsibility.
Yeah, cheers, Alex. Interesting as well to hear from John Pocino there, Pepe, about the integrity of League One and wanting to go out, of course, with a bang to get a win to really wrap up this season tomorrow, but also the fact that Lincoln City going for a playoff position. We're going to delve into them a little bit more and talk about before after the break, but in terms of Pompey wanting to do their bit, get the win, get up to 97 points, end the season on a high, and also maybe do Oxford United and Blackpool a bit of a favour too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lincoln are, other than Pompey, one of the most informed teams in League One, so yes, there could be changes, but if John Messina wants to end it on a high, then how many changes will he make? Because Lincoln are such a good team at the moment, especially under Mark Scabula, since he's taken over, the last 20, 25 games, they've been phenomenal. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Pompey line up tomorrow. Obviously, Messino's talked about the integrity, and he doesn't really want to make 11 changes, because then it could have other teams on his back questioning that decision.
Including Oxford themselves.
Yes, including his former club, Oxford. But yeah. Obviously that won't happen. And I think whatever side he names tomorrow, it'll be a strong team.
I think all in all, we're not going to get 11 changes. There might be a couple. You might see a Terry Zevlin.
Matt Macey would play last week, to be fair. But he just went with a very strong team.
Now, this is the thing as well, Pepe. Another question I'd actually like to ask you. You kind of want to see Matt Macey included. He is technically out of contract at the end of the season. Is he going to sign on for next season? But with Will Norris having been so superb all throughout the campaign, he's played 45 out of 45 league games. I'm sure he doesn't want to tarnish that record and sit back for a game. He'll want to complete the season, won't he?
Yeah, absolutely, and play every minute of every game.
Yeah.
All the criticism that he had when he signed, that's Will Norris, by the way, all the criticism that he had before he signed from Peterborough fans already on his back when he was announced at Fratton Park.
The worst goalkeeper in League
One. In League One. And he's, I don't know, how, I think he's got 18, 19, 20, in that ballpark of clean sheets this season. Mm. And to play every minute of every game is phenomenal. And same again with Bishop. A lot of people are asking for Yenge to start tomorrow because he deserves it. But Bishop's only two goals off Alfie May for the Golden Boot.
Yes.
So if he could bag a hat-trick and Alfie May doesn't score, then Colby Bishop could be the Golden Boot winner. So all those kind of factors. But I'd like to see Matt Macey, but for Will Norris, you want to be playing 46 out of 46.
Yeah. I've got a couple of emails coming in. We're going to read one of them after break. We'll get to one of them now, though. Edward Perry, thank you very much for getting in touch, reminding us that the Pompey Amputees are playing tomorrow in the IKO EAFL League. They're currently top of the division. They play Everton at 12:30 and Chelsea at 2:30, and all of those games streamed on the England Amputee Football Association Facebook and YouTube pages. You can find out more information over on the Amputees League Twitter account, or X account. It's at Amputee Football for all of the scheduling information. So once again, a reminder, thank you to Edward for getting in touch. The Pompey Amputees in action twice tomorrow, 12:30 against Everton and Chelsea at 2:30. The Blues are, unsurprisingly, much like the men's senior team, much like the women's as well, and much also like the Pompey community under 13 girls, they're top of the league. We just can't get this winning feeling out of the city, can we? Right, Blues fans, get in touch with us between now and 7 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you all the usual ways. Download the ExpressFM app from the Apple app or Google Play Store. Text the word Express followed by your name and message to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com. Include @expressfm on X, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Pompey Live. The final thoughts of Alex and Pepe, as well as a catch-up with Kirsty Roxanne too. She'll be here with a closer look into Pompey's opponents for the final day of the League One season. Wimber Football Hour returns next.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Go by bus. Go greener with Stagecoach.
Next stop, a cleaner, greener future. Did you know that if we all ditch the car and switch to a bus just once a month for a year, we'd save the UK 2 million tonnes of CO2?
Switch to bus, because by switching, you can make a big difference. Get on board a Stagecoach bus for a cleaner, greener future. For more information, go to switchtobus.com.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Yeah, good evening and welcome along for one final time tonight to the Football Hour, brought to you by Stagecoach across the South. Steve Randall is coming up very shortly here on Express FM with School Days to hype you up for another weekend. But first, let's continue to preview Pompey's final match of the campaign. Lincoln City are the opponents at Sinsel Bank, and for one last time this season, Kirsty Roxanne has the lowdown.
After 7 years in League One, the Blues are finally embarking on their final adventure in the third tier. Matchday number 46 comes from Sinsel Bank, with promotion to the Championship already secured for Pompey.
This week's opposition.
Playoff hopefuls Lincoln City will be looking to retain their place in the top six this weekend, when John Massino's title-winning side make the journey up for the final game of the campaign. We've taken a closer look into the Imps ahead of the season finale.
Manager.
The Imps are now managed by former Leeds United youth and first team coach Michael Scabala. The 41-year-old was placed at the helm at Sinsel Bank on the 13th of November, just under a month after the dismissal of Mark Kennedy. This is Scabala's first full manager role, having only previously led Leeds out as a caretaker boss over three matches last February. Since taking over at Lincoln, he has overseen 14 wins from 30 competitive games, which has given him a win percentage of 46.7.
One to watch.
Our one to watch is former Pompey player Rico Hackett. The winger also played for the likes of Charlton Athletic and Bromley before joining Lincoln on a three-year deal in June 2023. Hackett's goal against Northampton Town in August led him to winning the EFL League One Goal of the Month. The 26-year-old was also nominated for EFL League One Player of the Month in February this year, with four goals and two assists in five games. This campaign, Hackett has scored seven goals and made four assists in 29 appearances. Hackett wears the number 7 shirt for the Imps.
Top scorer.
21-year-old striker Joe Taylor currently leads the way in front of goal. The Luton Town loanee has made quite the impact since joining in January. With 18 league appearances, Taylor has accumulated 10 goals and 3 assists. He won the EFL League One Player of the Month and the EFL Young Player of the Month for March 2024, following 6 goals and an assist, which included his first professional hat-trick in a 5-0 win over Bristol Rovers. The striker wears a number 9 shirt.
Current form.
With just one defeat in 19 league games since New Year's Day, Michael Scabala's side have managed to maintain a strong but late push for the League One playoffs. That defeat ended in 2-1 and put an end to the Imps' 16 unbeaten run. The team they faced was none other than Wigan Athletic, who a week later ended the Blues' unbeaten run of 17 games. Last time out, Lincoln came out on top away from home with a 2-1 victory against Cheltenham, securing 6th place after leapfrogging Oxford United with goal difference. In the reverse of this fixture at Fratton Park, the Blues came out on top with a first half 2-1 victory with goals from Lane and Poole. Pompey have held a strong record against the Imps for the past 5 seasons in League One, with 6 victories, 2 draws and 1 loss from 9 fixtures. Lincoln would need to win this fixture to remain in playoff positions. However, if Barnsley drop points, a draw will take the Imps to 5th based on goal difference. A defeat to the Blues could still mathematically keep the promotion dreams alive if 7th place Oxford face a defeat against Exeter. Can Portsmouth end their 7-year stay in League One the way they started it? With a win? All of the Immissible Action on Pompey Live.
Yes, thank you, Kirsty. What an addition she's been to Pompey Live this season, by the way. Another great, insightful opposition report there from our Kirsty. We're going to hear more from Kirsty this Sunday when we've got the live coverage of the Pompey promotion celebrations on Southsea Common this Sunday between 12 and 4. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a few moments' time. As alluded to, that feature, Pepe, Rico Hackett in the ranks of Michael Scabala's side. He's had a pretty decent first season with the Imps. However, I don't think he's going to be featuring tomorrow.
No, I think off the top of my head, you could probably Google this and confirm, but Mark Scabula mentioned in his press conference yesterday, first line or something about injuries, was Rico Hackett's injured, I believe. And he's unlikely to play in the playoffs as well. So big loss for them. Great to see him playing well. John Messina talked about him when he left and before he left at the back end of last season. When I was at the news, I was lucky enough to speak to him and mentioned about how good Rico Hackett's talent was. He was such a good player. Just didn't quite work out at Portsmouth. His left foot was, as John Messina said, was one of the best left foots in League One. Just a shame Pompey couldn't unlock that. And he's gone to Lincoln and has played phenomenally when he's been fit. Obviously a few injury problems here and there, and obviously he's out for the rest of the season now. But he also mentioned Mark Skibula, that one player could be returning. He didn't name the player, and a lot of Lincoln fans are saying Tyler Walker. So it's just written in the stars that he starts tomorrow, scores a hat-trick as Pompey leave League One with, yeah, it would be so Pompey if Tyler Walker scored tomorrow.
You're leaving a lot of these audio clips for me to snap up, aren't you?
Yep.
For Monday's show, it's huge. And future shows to come when you've predicted.
I'm just providing everything. You with content, Jake.
Pretty much, yeah. Yep. This is Pepe Lacy's last appearance on the Football Hour.
Till next Friday.
Till next Friday. What might interest you Pompey fans is that the Blues have got a decent record against Lincoln City since 2020. Touch wood.
You've jinxed it now.
Yeah, all right. Yep. You can clip that up as well. Four away, four at home. 2-0-0 draws, one at home, one away. The other six of those games out of those eight have ended in Pompey victories. So in the last 4 years, eight games, six victories for Pompey, two goalless draws, a 2-0 win at Lincoln, a 3-1 win at Lincoln, and a 3-0 victory at Lincoln, followed by home fixtures, 2-0 win, 3-1 win, 3-2 win, and that goalless draw as well. It's actually very rare that Pompey play Lincoln on a Saturday. Usually it's quite often a Tuesday night. Last season it was a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff. This season we are very fortunate to have it on a Saturday again for a second consecutive season. And then they moved it to a 12:30 kickoff just to ruin it a little bit. So, yeah, Pompey got a decent record against Lincoln City. A very interesting stat here from Anthony Hess, Pompey fan, on X, saying so far this season in League One, Lincoln had the best home defence, having conceded only 15 goals. Pompey, meanwhile, had the best away defence, having conceded only 14 goals. But it'll probably end up 4-4, says Anthony Hess. A few people in the comments section saying it's got 0-0 written all over it with those stats. Lincoln City themselves, only one defeat since New Year's Day. 12 wins in 19 since, including some big wins in that time as well. 5-1 away at Barnsley, 6-0 at home to Cambridge, 5-0 at home to Bristol Rovers. And actually, those three wins came in consecutive games as well. They have been on fire. Lincoln City currently in sixth position. They do hold the advantage over Oxford United and Blackpool just below them. A win against Pompey tomorrow would confirm their place in the top six. Barnsley are also in a bit of trouble, actually, of dropping out. Four defeats in the last five. They haven't secured a win in any of those last five games. They have dismissed manager
Neil Collins.
Yeah, I can say Michael O'Neill then. Neil Collins from his post with only one game remaining, following that really poor run of form. Essentially, a defeat for Barnsley tomorrow, with Oxford United and Blackpool winning those games, and Barnsley could be out of the top six. So, yeah, Barnsley in fifth on 75 points, Lincoln on 74, Oxford on 74 and seventh, and Blackpool in eighth on 73 points. All fighting for a top six finish. It's going to be very interesting in terms of that fight for the playoffs. In terms of automatic promotion, Derby County do have the better of Bolton Wanderers. They take on Carlisle United, already relegated Carlisle, at home at a sold-out Pride Park tomorrow afternoon. They have 89 points on the board to Derby, so a point will do it. Bolton Wanderers will need to win in their game away at Peterborough, and also hope that Derby lose. There is also a 4-goal difference between the two sides as well. Peterborough United have pretty much confirmed their position in fourth. They will be playing in the playoffs this season. There's one more relegation spot to determine down to League Two, heading into the final game of the season. Cheltenham Town currently occupy that place in 21st with 44 points on the board. Burton Albion and Cambridge United will be sweating and looking over their shoulders at Cheltenham, knowing that they could still mathematically go down this weekend. Cheltenham if Cheltenham lose or draw away at Stevenage, they are down. A win with Burton dropping points away at already relegated Fleetwood will see Cheltenham survive and Burton go down. Cambridge United need a point to confirm safety. They play, again, already relegated Port Vale away. So Cheltenham with the toughest game of the three, essentially on paper, away at Stevenage. The other two teams, Burton and Cambridge, are playing already relegated sides. Dave Byrne on the email saying, good evening, Jake. The final match of a great season for Pompey. I've honestly spent more time thinking about the future of the team and next season more than what remains this time around. I look back to 2017-18 when we accrued a modest 66 points from our first season back in League One. That was now set my cautious expectation for our first season back in the Championship, and I'd really, really be happy with that. I would see us in eighth at the moment and probably near the bottom of the top half by the season's end. I would take that. I think it'd be nice if we could have fit versions of Alex Robertson, Tino Andrin in our squad, as well as a long shot, Abu Kamara. You never know. Whatever it is, I'm encouraged by John Messino's honest assessment of the changes needed to bridge the gap between League One and the Championship. Onward and upward, play at Pompey Day. Thank you very much for your email tonight and throughout the entirety of the campaign as well. Right, really quick score predictions. Alex Fletcher, Pompey taking on Lincoln tomorrow. What do you reckon?
I'm going to go for 2-1 Pompey win.
2-1. Thank you, Alex. Pepe?
Oh, I'll probably join Alex and say 2-1 Pompey.
Brilliant. And that's a hat-trick, because I was also going to go for a 2-1
so boring.
Pompey. Oh, whatever. I'm turning you down now. Do my head in. Pepe, thank you very much. There's a lot to clip up tonight, by the way. That concludes another episode of the Football Hour, folks. We've got, I'll tell you what, we've got a busy, busy weekend of football coming your way here on Express FM. 45 games down for Pompey in League One this season, 7 years in the third division. It all comes to an end tomorrow afternoon. Pompey's final match of the League One season, and we've got coverage of it here from 11 a.m.
Here we go.
Pompey live.
Despite a fifth defeat of the season at the hands of Wigan, Pompey lifted the League One trophy.
And Marlon Pack lifts the trophy. Portsmouth are League One champions.
The Blues can finish the season off in style away at Lincoln in the final match of the season next. Join us for all of the unmissable action Saturday at 11 a.m.
Every kick, every goal, every game is right here on Express FM. Pompey Live
with Aquacars.
Join us from 11 a.m. tomorrow for all of the action as the Blues take on Lincoln City away from home in what will be their final League One fixture, at least for quite some time, we hope. Tomorrow afternoon, Pompey's next league game will be in the Championship in August. And then from midday on Sunday, we've got a very special celebration event to broadcast to you live from Southsea Common.
Champions, champions.
That's like the last 24 hours. Listen, to do it with a fan on the pitch, that's like, wow, what a feeling, what a feeling.
On the common.
The crowd are all over the pitch. 12 years after being relegated from the Championship, Portsmouth are back.
Celebrating the double promotion success of Pompey's men and women.
We are going up, and we are going up.
Live here between 12 and 4pm this Sunday on Express FM. That's right. Between 12 and 4 this Sunday afternoon, we'll have full coverage of those promotion celebrations on Southsea Common. The double celebrations as Pompey's men's and women's sides embark on the stage in front of thousands, I'm sure, will flock to the seaside to celebrate with both of the teams. It's going to be a wet one, so bring your waterproofs, but also bring your flags and your scarves and everything you want to bring to celebrate the incredible season that both teams have had in League One and the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. Right, big thank you to our two studio guests for tonight's edition of the show. Alex Fletcher, it's been a pleasure, as always, to have you on the Football Hour, my friend.
Thanks so much, Jake. Hopefully see you down Southsea Common Sunday.
Oh, you will indeed. Pepe Lacey, thank you very much. It's been all right to have you with us.
Yeah, it's been all right, Jake. It's been a pleasure, as always.
It's been a pleasure, as always. So I'll see you next Friday, along with Tom Chappell from 4-0 written all over it. Right, Pompey Live back for one final time for the men this season, tomorrow morning from 11 a.m. Steve Randall is up next.